So when church was over with, the pastor's wife said, "You owe us $50." He said, "I was in the spirit." She said, "Well, get in the spirit, give me $50. But when you're in the spirit, you're not going to destroy things. You're going to profit things.
Amen.
Glory to God. God's going to bless you.
Yep.
Glory to God. When God created Adam, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 27, it said, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female, So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And that's what we was doing. That's what Brother Scotty was doing just a minute ago, is taking authority. And God said, well, I'm not going to go and read that. But I want you to know, see what God had told him. He said, he blessed them. He said, be fruitful, be multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish and of the sea, over all fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But how many knows when Satan come into the picture, he tempted the man and the woman, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they fell from a place.
Yeah.
See, you have to realize something. Adam and Eve was in the spirit before they fell.
Yep.
Now think about this for a second. That Adam and Eve was in the spirit. And God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, have authority, have provision, have everything, you know, in the spirit. That's why it was, God designed it to be the word that we had authority, we had power. We had supernatural, Adam had supernatural power.
Amen.
He was able to name all the animals in the earth. He had authority. He had the wisdom of God. He had supernatural power in his life. But when they sin, they fell from a place of the spirit into the fleshly realm.
Yep.
And how many knows the flesh hinders the work of God?
Yeah.
The flesh always causes us to not be sensitive to God. I was preaching a funeral today. Sister Cindy Woods had passed away. And I was talking about how that when we die, this old fleshly body is not hindrance anymore.
Right.
And when this body's out of the way, you come right into the presence of God.
Amen.
There's nothing hindering you anymore. Just like when you have if you've been in a really super good church service before where the Holy Ghost came in and we were in the spirit, and you'd just be weeping and the presence of God be all around, and signs and wonders and miracles and things would happen in a service many times in that kind of atmosphere. But the flesh has to get out of the way. But what I'm saying though is the flesh is what hinders us from walking in the presence of God like he wants us to do. And that's what Adam and Eve fell into. When they sinned, they fell. And he said, now then you'll work by the sweat of your brow. You know, you'll have to till the ground and you'll have to work by the sweat of your brow. That was actually a curse.
That's right.
Because of sin.
Right.
Because of what they'd done. In other words, they must have been in a place to where that they didn't have to struggle in the flesh to survive.
Right.
They must have been in a place to where God supernaturally gave them provision to do what they needed to do. Just like he does us today. When we're doing his will, he will give provision.
Yeah.
But see, they sinned, and when they got away from God, death came on the scene. People, they begin to die. Disease come in the picture. Demons come on into the earth. Demons begin to possess people and take authority over people's lives and rule over them and destroy them. But this didn't happen until they sinned. See, it didn't happen until that after that disobedience to God. It opened the doorway up for the devil to come in to bring all the things that we see here today. Well, God had a plan from the very beginning. The Bible said Jesus was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God already, he knew man was going to sin, and he already had a plan to bring man back to him, to bring us back into a relationship with him. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
He came to take us back, take back the things that was lost in Adam. As a matter of fact, Jesus was called the last Adam. He was the top of Adam, but he was the last Adam. The first Adam failed, the second Adam didn't fail. The second Adam came to bring us back into a relationship with God so that we could have the supernatural power of God in our life. Did you know the Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth? And he didn't say some things are possible. He said all things. That means it's possible that I could even sing. If I got in the Holy Ghost, I could carry a tune. You know, without it in the flesh, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But in the spirit, you know, I could sing. In the spirit, we can do things that you can't normally do. See, because the flesh that limits us, in the fleshly realm, we're limited. But in the spiritual realm, we're not limited.
Amen.
In the supernatural, all things are possible, glory to God, to him that believeth. You remember Elijah, when he prophesied to Ahab and told him it was going to rain, and it started to rain, and the Bible said that that Elijah outran the chariot back to the city.
Right.
I mean, how does somebody outrun a horse? I mean, running down a long stretch. I mean, you might outrun him for 50 foot, but after you go about a half a mile, the horse is going to way outrun you. But Elijah outran the horse, the chariot. And the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He said, they shall mount up on wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. Why? Because they've become one with God. That word wait there means to become one with God. The more one we become with him, the more, he said, that you'll run and you won't be weary. He said, you'll walk and you won't faint. There's a place, praise God, that we can tap into, to where that we can be in the spirit, and then we can see the supernatural power of God working in our lives. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. How many remembers Philip, the deacon?
Yep.
He was preaching to the eunuch in the chariot, and he baptized him. And when he was baptized, immediately Philip was translated to another city. Well, how did that happen? I mean, he was in the flesh. But you know what? He was in the spirit. He was doing the Lord's work, and he baptized this man, and next thing you know, bam, he's in another city. He got translated. I had a friend of mine who was a preacher, and he said that happened to him. He said he was translated. He was in prayer closet praying one time, and he said all at once he was translated into this man's house, and he was standing there, and he saw this man praying, and he was asking the Lord about the Holy Ghost and stuff. And he walked into him and walked up to him and laid hands on him, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then, bam, he was sent back to where he started, back in his house. And, you know, stuff like that still happens today.
Amen.
It didn't pass away with the disciples. The same works that Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go back to the Father.
Amen.
Jesus walked on water. Now see, this is what I want you to realize. Did you know that when you're in the spirit, you can supersede the laws of nature?
Yes, sir.
There's all kind of examples in the Bible. When you're in the spirit, fire don't even hurt you.
Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to that golden image. And the Bible said, you know what? They were in the spirit. It was by faith. And because they refused to bow down to the golden image, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but the fire didn't even singe a hair on their head. Why? Because the laws, the supernatural laws of God of this world were superseded by the power of the Spirit of God. It was a type of salvation. It was a type of what the redemption is in Christ Jesus. And so, and now then I read about David's mighty men. Let me read something here. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, glory to God. Read about David's mighty men. In verse 8, it says, "And these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." 800 men. One man slew 800 people. You think that was natural?
No.
He was just an Arnold Schwarzenegger type of guy?
No.
No. He was in the spirit.
That's
right. Samson slew 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey.
Yeah.
You think he was in the flesh? No, he was in the spirit.
Amen.
When the spirit come on him, he would become strong. The Bible says that when the spirit of God would come upon Samson, all at once his strength would, he'd take the gates of the city and tow them off up the hill.
Yeah.
When the spirit came on him.
Yeah.
You know what? When you're in the spirit, you're walking in Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Bible said, Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in my name"?
Yep.
He said, "I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in my name, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth, and he'll teach you the things of mine." And so when you're in the Holy Ghost, you're actually walking in Jesus.
Yep.
Because the Holy Ghost is here in his name.
Right.
And say, just like we're in the name of Jesus, that means we're here representing Jesus.
Right.
We're in his name. That means I'm representing him here. And so if the Holy Ghost is here in his name, that means the Holy Ghost is here representing Jesus. And so whenever I respond to the Holy Ghost, I'm responding to Jesus. When I'm in Jesus, if I'm in the Spirit, I'm in Jesus. I'm walking in. And in, remember, in Jesus, there's redemption. In Jesus, there's the supernatural. All things are possible to him that believeth. Glory to God. But he slew 800 men at one time. And you know, if you think about it, if you slew 800 people, if they stood there and let you stab them, you know, I mean, if you was just going 800 times after a while, you'd be tired.
Yeah.
But these people were fighting, and they still slew 800. And another one says he slew 300 at one time. Another one slew a giant,
yeah,
a lion-like man. And they done all these things, but the reason they did was because that the Bible says that they strengthened themselves. In 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 10, it tells us how come that these men were mighty men. 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 10. No, first. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Something wrong there. It says, "These are also the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." They strengthened themselves as they sought to make David king.
Right.
David is a type of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many know Jesus is king?
Yep.
It said they strengthened themselves as they sought to make him king over the kingdom.
Amen.
These men, the anointing that was on David got on them. Did you know that whenever we seek to make Jesus Lord in our life, the anointing that's on Jesus gets on us?
Yep.
And it strengthens us,
yep,
and makes us strong. See, the devil wants us fighting this battle in the flesh.
Yeah.
He wants us fighting this battle in our own sweat of our brow, trying to make ourselves serve God, trying to make ourselves overcome the devil, trying to make ourselves not do this or not do that. But see, by the power of the Spirit is much more powerful than willpower,
right,
or your own strength, because there's a blessing there. When God blesses something, God speaks and commands something to be. When he pronounces a blessing on you and he says, "Be blessed," you're blessed.
Right.
That means God's favor is coming to you to bring to pass good, to cause you to prosper.
Yep.
into what you do, what you set your hand to. When you're in the Spirit, doing the Lord's will, when you're seeking to make Him king over your life, and you're setting out to do God's will by faith. And see, this thing is all about faith. We got to believe that God's wanting it. When we know that God's wanting us to do something, and we step out and do it, there's always going to be a fear that's going to hit you and say, it won't work, it won't work, you better not do it. But see, faith says, oh, I know it's going to work. This is the will of God. I'm going to do what God said to do. Used to, I would say, if I knew the will of God, 90% of the battle was over. Where confusion comes in is when you don't know the will of God.
Right.
When you know the will of God, it's just like it's black and white. Just do it.
Yep.
If it's the will of God and you know it's the will of God and you know that's what God wants you to do, just step out by faith and do it. And that's when you see the supernatural hand of God come on the scene. How many remembers the widow woman in the meal barrel? It didn't run dry.
Right.
Elijah came to her and said, how about making me a cake and give me something to drink? She said, we ain't got but just one more meal. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. Elijah said, make me one first and then you're going to have plenty. She said, she believed the man of God and she baked him the cake out of the meal and gave him something to drink. And the Bible said her meal barrel didn't run dry for 3.5 years. You know what happened? She tapped into the supernatural. She tapped into the Spirit. She tapped into what Adam had before he failed. Supernatural provision. See, this is what God's going to, this is what's got to happen in these last days. The church has got to tap into the supernatural provision of God. Because if everything in this world starts going down the tubes, if starvation starts coming to this world, you know what? It doesn't mean that it's going to come to us. It doesn't mean that God's going to fail us. It doesn't mean that our hope is in the government. Our hope is in God.
Amen.
And see, the supernatural power of God. And so the church, we got to get our eyes off of the world system and realize that if I obey God and do what He's telling me to do, then supernatural provision will come. But you know what? Many times, supernatural provision asks us for a seed. Many times, before supernatural provision can come, you have to have an act of faith. God, you know, if you're needing a financial miracle in your life and you're praying, oh God, I need a miracle. I got to pay this big bill. And all at once, there'll be some need come up that somebody's got.
Right.
Something will come up somewhere. And you'll hear a little voice that says, give this person some money. Or sow this seed to this mission field. Or do this or do that. And your mind said, I can't. I need money myself. But all at once, you step out and you obey in faith. And you know what you do? You step into the Spirit.
Yeah.
When you step into the Spirit, all at once now the blessing comes to you because you've tapped into the Spirit and you're drawing it to you because of your obedience to God.
Amen.
And it causes the supernatural to come. You know, you're in the Spirit. You know, you get in the Spirit paying tithes.
Yeah.
You can't. You get in the Spirit. I mean, we need to start getting excited when it's our time to give an offering and tithes and say, Lord, I'm fixing. He said, what did He say? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house, and I will open up what?
The windows
of heaven. You know what the windows of heaven are? The Spirit. It's the Spirit realm. He's saying, I will open up the Spirit realm for your life. And cause blessing to start coming into your life because you have sown a seed. See, the world system says if you ain't got nothing, you got to scrounge and pinch and save and everything, and you better not give anything to God. You don't need to give it to the church. You need to keep it. You know what? You stay in the flesh. You're not in the Spirit. When you don't obey God, you're not going to be in the Spirit. You're going to be in the flesh trying to fight a battle. Glory to God. Now think about other examples in the Bible, how Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he was praying. And you know what? He refused to be pulled out of the spirit.
Yep.
He said, hey, I'm going to keep on praying.
Yep.
I don't care if it gets me thrown in the lion's den, I'm going to keep on praying. It's going to get me out. And it got him thrown in the lion's den, but the lions could not eat him because he was in the spirit and the blessing of God was upon him. Now this is another part of being in the spirit is authority. Did you know that when you're in the spirit, you have authority? That's the reason I got excited when Scotty started saying, we're taking authority tonight. Because, see, I know that God wants us to take authority. As a matter of fact, he commanded me. And Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Where'd those devils come from? The devils got in there when man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus said, you cast them out. And then he said, and they'll speak with new tongues in the Holy Ghost. How many know when you're praying in the Holy Ghost is praying through you. The Spirit's praying through you. And he said, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How could it be like that? Because you're in the Spirit. See, when you're in the Spirit, it's not going to affect you like it is in the natural. I've heard stories about people years ago that would be in Pentecostal churches and they'd be dancing around praising and worshiping God and have a stove in there, a wood or coal heater. It would, the pops on the thing would be almost red hot. And they'd be dancing around that place and all at once they'd just wrap their arms around a hot stove and not even be burned.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy when you think about it, that somebody could actually do something like that. But you know what? The only way it can happen is it supersedes the laws of the nature.
Right.
Because the laws of nature says you touch something hot, it's going to burn you.
Right.
The laws of nature says you drink poison, it's going to kill you. The laws of nature says you can lay hands on people all day long, but they ain't going to get better.
Right.
But God says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Right.
Why? Because you have the blessing of God in you. And you have authority in the earth. And I commanded you. He said, you go in my name and you cast out the devil. And so that means Jesus said, you go representing me in the earth. And wherever you see the devil at, you cast him out. And you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Right.
But see, sometimes people will try something and they'll say, let's see if this works. And they'll go, come out, devil. And then you jump back. It's like, you're just trying it. And then you say, well, it didn't work. I tried it, but the devil wouldn't listen to me. You don't try it.
Don't try.
You got to do it. You got to just jump in there and step out in faith and believe that God is going to be with you.
Right.
I mean, R.W. Shambach, he talked a lot about this, and he said that he worked for A.A. Allen. And he said that A.A. Allen said he would not have nobody working for him that couldn't cast out the devil.
Right.
And so he said he told him, take him out back and cast the devil out of him back there in the tent. And he said he'd have to go back there and cast out devils. And I heard A.A. Allen on a record, old-timey records, and he was praying over sick people, and he would just command them to come out, and those demons would come out. And I remember when I first got saved, when I would pray for somebody, and every once in a while, you know, I remember one particular person I prayed for that had demons, and as I was praying for him, I commanded the devil to come out, and the devil said, no, I ain't coming out. It started talking back to me. I mean, there was a lady that came to our church when I first started pastoring. And she came up to the altar. And as she was at the altar, she said, I want you to pray for me about drugs. She said, I need help. She said, I feel oppressed. And so I started to pray for her, and the Lord said, it's not on her, it's in her. He said, cast it out. And so I started commanding this devil to come out of this woman. And when I did, this woman fell on the floor. She started convulsing and foaming at the mouth and all kinds of stuff like this started happening. And I thought, wow, this really happening, you know. And so it was just a young church and all the people in the back, run up there and sat on the front row. It was like watching television. you know, and or The Exorcist. And so we're up there casting devil out of her, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just doing what I read in the Bible, you know. And so I'd tell that devil to come out, and it'd say, "No, I ain't coming out." I said, "Yes, you are." And it's, "No, I'm not." I said, "Well, Lord, what am I going to do? I can't go in and get him." And he said, I just kept praying. And then the devil started talking to my mind and said, "You must not have the anointing." Or that devil's, he's arguing with you, you know. And I later on that, I mean, we prayed for the lady for about 2 hours, and then she got delivered. I seen her a couple days later. She said, "I don't even want drugs anymore." So I have no desire for drugs. She said, "How did you know I had a devil in me?" She said, "I've been to churches and people prayed for me and everything." And I said, "Well, the Lord just told me that." But after that happened, the devil kept talking to my mind saying, "Well, you must not have it like everybody else does, because them devils was arguing with you." And so I was listening to A.A. Allen on his record tape. And A.A. Allen started commanding this devil to come out of this man. He said, "Come out." And that devil said, "No, I'm not coming out. It's my, he belongs to me." I said, "Man, that devil's arguing with a man of God." And then he said, "I said, come out." And that devil said, "No, I'm not coming out." And then I listened to him, and then about three or four times, then he said, "I said, come out now." And then, bam, that devil come out. I said, "Wow, I just realized something." I started doubting my authority after it argued with me. But A.A. Allen knew that he had authority. And you know what? The next time I went to cast the devil out of somebody, I had a lot more authority. I had a lot more confidence, because I didn't realize that if it argued with him and he argued with me, so I can still have the same results, you know. And so, but the thing of it is, you got to know that it's God's will. You got to know that you have authority in the name of Jesus. And see, that was in the spirit. That's what Adam had. Back then, he had authority over all the earth and over all the heavens and the fowls of the air. And you know, the Bible talks about the principalities and powers in heavenly places, in the atmosphere. And that's the reason that he included in the book of Genesis, that's the reason he said that he gave us authority over the fowl of the air, all the things that's in the atmosphere. He gave us authority over. But this is what it means to be in the spirit. It means we have authority. It means we have authority to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It means we have authority that if any deadly thing comes to you, if any plague comes near us, we have in the spirit. You know, and what I said this many years ago, that I said, I believe in the last days, God's going to let things happen. It's going to push us into the spirit realm, to where we have to stay in the spirit. And I believe that's what's happening in these last days. I believe that things that are happening are happening to the place to where that if you're not in the spirit, you could die.
Right.
You know, you could catch some pandemic or something, you know. But he said that God's going to force us to seek after him and to obey him and to stay in the spirit, so that when something comes along, you don't have to wonder if you're right with God. You don't have to wonder if you're in the spirit, because you know you're in the spirit.
Right.
Smith Wigglesworth, he used to say that he wouldn't read newspapers. He wouldn't listen to news. He wouldn't listen to nothing negative. He only listened to the Word of God and prayed the Word of God. And whenever he would go into a place, he would listen to what God told him to do. And he would just do it, and the miracles would happen. I believe like 16 people was raised from the dead in his ministry. But you know what? He stayed in the spirit. I was at a meeting out in Double Springs one time, and there was a man of God there. I think he's done dead and gone. But he was an older man back then, and he came out, and he was just walking around talking. And somebody done told me that said that he'll just talk until he feels the Spirit. When he feels the Spirit move on him, he said all at once he'll kick in and he'll start ministering to people. And so he did. He was up there and he was just walking around talking and pulling his comb out, combing his hair. I mean, he was walking around talking and talking about somebody. You got a pretty little child there, you know. He was walking around, and then all at once, bam, the Spirit of God came on him. He started prophesying to this person, that person, this person. But it was like he knew when the Holy Ghost came on the scene, you know, and he was led by the Spirit, and miracles and signs and wonders would happen as a result of it. And so I want to encourage you tonight. This, if you want to stay in the Spirit, let me just quickly say this and then I'll close. If we want to be in the Spirit, faith and obedience. Obey what you know God's telling you to do and believe that God is with you. Seek to make Him king in your life. Anything that stands in the way, believe you can defeat it. Anything that stands in your way of making Jesus Lord over you, believe that you can defeat it.
Amen.
And you can. Third thing, fear not. Don't be afraid, because the enemy uses fear like a weapon.
Yes,
he uses fear to intimidate people and make them draw back. When you start to step out for God, fear will come on you. The devil will try to use fear to make you draw back and make you operate in the flesh. Wait upon the Lord. Seek to be one with Him. And the Bible said you'll mount up on wings of eagles. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The word delight there means to be soft and pliable. That means that if you're just soft and pliable before God, letting Him mold you and make you, that He will give you the desires of your heart. You'll put desires in there and then He'll give them to you. I've had God to give me things that I didn't even ask for, but it was in my heart. You know, it was something I wanted, but I didn't tell nobody. I didn't even pray about it. And all at once, God would give it to me. And lastly, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said you build up your most holy faith?
Yep.
It says it builds up your inner man.
Amen.
The new man that I preached about the other day.
Yep.
When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it's building him up. He's getting stronger.
Amen.
That's the reason the devil hates speaking in tongues, because he don't want anybody to build themselves up. He don't want you to get in the Spirit. You can, when you get in the Spirit, you can actually get in the Spirit by praying in the Spirit. By singing in the Spirit.
Amen.
You can get in your prayer closet and start praying to God and let the Holy Ghost come upon you and start praying in tongues. And you can pray in the Spirit, and when you get in the Spirit, that's the time to do exploits in His name. Glory to God. That's the time to reach out and lay hands on somebody. I just want to encourage you, because I feel like tonight, about some of the things I'm sharing, that somebody here tonight, you're gonna step into the supernatural tomorrow. Or the next day. You're gonna step in. There's something gonna happen. You're gonna step up and you're gonna see the supernatural hand of God, the provision of God, the miracle of God is gonna happen, because that you're gonna know that God has already given you a word. He showed you what you need to do. Then when the opportunity arises, you're gonna step out and you're gonna see a supernatural miracle take place in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank